How great he is, amen? And that's talking about our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Take your textbook tonight and open it up to page number 53. Page 53, we've been learning about three dedications determining God's direction in your life. I see some visitors back here at this chapter. Let's pause and let's give a big, big welcome to all of the first-time visitors. Let's give a big hand, amen? We're glad that you're here at the fastest growing addiction program around the world, RU Recovery Ministries. 2,800 locations. We're doing what you were doing previous to the COVID-19 shutdown. We pray that all 2,800 open back up. Amen. And some are watching online. Our numbers have grown online here and other churches that are doing this, and we're excited about it. It's been a privilege for us to be here, Mrs. Birx and I and Cisco and Ed from Rockford, Illinois since Tuesday. And we've had a wonderful, wonderful conference, and the staff here has been excellent, outstanding. I'm looking forward to hearing testimonies in just a little while. I know this COVID-19 schedule stuff, we have to do the same thing in Rockford, but there's something special about a changed life. Amen? The greatest advertisement for REU is the changed life. And you're sitting there tonight and you're a first-time visitor and this kind of looks strange to you because what's this guy going to say and what did that guy over there say? And, you know, bear with us. Bear with us because there's nothing like the changed, transformed lives of people that come through the REU Recovery Program. Amen? And we hear that. We hear people that will testify and say, hey, I came here 7 months ago, was alcoholic, and I've got 7 months clean. Amen. And boy, we clap. And remember, we're not clapping for them, we're clapping for him. Because he's the one that changes lives. He's the one that transforms lives. Somebody else will give a testimony, and sometimes they'll say, it's been 6 days, and we'll be excited about 6 days. Amen. I'll take every day you can give us, and being free and clean and walking in the right things. But REU is not only here to help you have sobriety from your addiction, it's also here to help you have victory. Amen? And that's what chapter 3 is all about. In chapter number 3, we're going to look at the Bible verse that's at the beginning of the chapter. I'm going to put a prop down here. We're going to look at the Bible verse that's at the beginning of the chapter, so you may want to turn back just a few pages, because we're on page 53 tonight, but a few pages back to 49, you will see the key verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says this, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I want to stop right there for a minute, because this passage is written to a group of people. And we know that this group of people are people that have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know they have a relationship with God because they're part of God's family. Amen? He says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. It's not for everybody, but it is for everybody who has received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so, if you don't know a lot about that, we surely want to help you with that in the weeks ahead and help you learn more about that. But when all of us were born, we were born with a body. We're going to talk about that in just a little while. We were born with a soul, and we were born with a spirit. But that spirit is likened to this old black mat up here, okay? That spirit was large and in charge, and it was dead. It was smelly. It was alienated from God. It was separated from God. It was an enemy of God. You see, we were all born like that. For as by one man sin, death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know the story. You've heard the name Adam and Eve. They were in a perfect garden, and God gave them paradise, and he told them one rule, don't eat of this tree. And the old serpent slipped in, and Eve took the fruit, and she thought, boy, this looks good for me. This is what I want to have. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. That fruit represented her dissatisfaction with life and her dissatisfaction with everything around her. And she was dissatisfied, and she took that fruit and she ate of it, and she gave to her husband, and he ate of it also. And God had already said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But they didn't die that day physically. They did not die that day in their soul, although the death process started in both of those vicinities. But their spirit died that day. They were no longer in union with God. They were no longer in fellowship with God because of sin. I know sometimes we call addictions by different names and it's more suitable to us and acceptable to us. But I tell you, the real issue tonight is sin. That's the real issue. Man, it's killing people. It's taking people to a place of eternity without God. It's a terrible place. It's a place nobody ought to desire to go. So there's a songwriter wrote, all my friends are going to be there. There's only one problem with that. You're not going to know they're there. You're going to care less whether they're there because of the pain and the anguish and the suffering. Well, this is, and some of you, I don't believe that. This earth is hell. This is hell. No, it's not. Trust me, that's a lie. You're believing a lie. This is not hell on earth, but there is a place called hell. Amen. It's not on earth, it's under the earth. The heart of the earth, I believe. There's a place called hell. But you know, God gave us a wonderful plan to get us out of a mess like that, to redeem us, to rescue us, to deliver us. And the Bible says that He sent His Son, God sent His only begotten Son to come here. He lived a perfect life. He showed us how to do it. And then He went to a cross to die for what we did wrong. Not only what we did wrong, but what our ancestors did wrong. He died for the sins of the whole world. But here's the catch. He didn't just die for it. He died in those sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And boy, somebody showed me that story in 1976, and I'd bow my knee on a green carpet much like this, and a green couch, and I bowed my head and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm separated from God. The Bible, I believe the Bible, that I'm alienated, separated, and there's nothing I can do to save myself. And I believe Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose again. And right now, I call upon Him. I want Him to be my Savior. And you know the day that happened? That old man that was inside of me, that old spirit, the Bible says he died. He was gone. Amen. And God reached down and He cleaned off a spot inside of me. And that spot that He put inside of me was righteous and holy and pure and clean. And He created a brand new me to live inside of me. Amen. You say, you're talking like you're schizophrenic. Yeah, that's the idea. God put a brand new me inside of me. He put a new spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not only did He put a new spirit inside of me, He put a new leader inside of me. His name is Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. When He died, I died. He did that for me. When He was buried, I was buried. When He rose again, hallelujah, I'm experiencing what He experienced when He rose again. Not only is there a new me and a new leader, there's a new direction. A brand new direction. And that direction is what we're talking about tonight in chapter 3, a culminating of these three lessons, are talking about what's inside coming out of us. Amen? Being dedicated to the One who died for us. Being willing, in fact, He says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. That means you're saved. You got a new you got a new leader, you got a new direction. By the mercies of God. By the way, that's what salvation is all about. It's about God giving you and me mercy that we don't deserve. We all deserve hell. We've all made mistakes. We've all failed miserably. But thanks be to God that He knows how to take care of all of that. Amen? And put a brand new fresh start for you in Christ. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That was the first thing we talked about in chapter number 3, where we talked about dedicating or presenting ourselves to God as a sacrifice that is willing, holy, acceptable presentation. This body, this outside of me, presenting that, this isn't my body, this is His body. I'm reminded of the old man was on a train and he's sitting down at the car that had places where you could eat. And so he was at a booth-like and he was sitting there and there's a long tablecloth and he kind of had his hands underneath the tablecloth and shorter man, he was sitting there and some other guys asked, "Could we sit with you? The place is full." And so they sat down, one over here beside him and two over there across the thing, and they pulled out a deck of cards. "You mind if we play some poker?" And they dealt poker hand out. And you want to play? He says, "No, sir, I don't have any hands." "Oh, sir, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I apologize." And so they dealt three hands of poker. They's getting ready to put their money on the table and play some poker. And a few minutes later, they're playing, and here comes the lady with some refreshments. And she came through. I'm sure they had Diet Coke back then. Sure, everybody knows what Diet Coke is. And they came through, and they, "Sir, would you like something to drink?" He said, "Yes, I'd like some hot tea." She gets the hot tea, brings it back on the table. He reaches, picks up the hot tea, and begins to drink. And the guy's like, "You said you didn't have any hands. You lied to us. What in the world?" He said, "Oh, these aren't mine. These are His. These belong to Him. He bought me with a price. Amen. These are not my feet. These are not my hands. This is not my body. This is His body." And if you believe differently, you're believing some lies. Amen. If you know the Lord as your Savior, that's not your body, it's His. The second thing we learn in this passage was not only present our bodies a living sacrifice, but number two, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," here it is, "by the renewing of your mind." In lesson number two, Brother Earl taught us to dedicate our minds to God's Word by changing the way we think. That's called transformation. Amen? Dedicating our minds. All of us have, there's an old way of thinking inside of all of us. There's a worldly way of thinking inside of us. And then there's a new way. There's a God way. You might be sitting here tonight and you've been coming to RU a little while, but somehow in your mind you're like, "I don't need to do challenge." That's a lie. Because no challenge is no change. No challenge is no change. And maybe we ought to review a little bit more about dedicating here, because that book called the Challenge Book and the Overcomer Book is designed to help us change what we think about. Amen? And bring into line our thoughts with His thoughts. Our thoughts with His Word. And so, dedicating our minds. Tonight, that brings us to lesson number 3. Dedication is the devotion of ourselves to God's standard. It's called confirmation. Dedicating ourselves to God's, and go back to page number 53, dedicating ourselves to God's standard is the first blank. Hope you got your textbook, boy. You got to fill out those blanks. Dedicating ourselves to God's standard. "And be not conformed to this world," he said, "but be ye transformed." You know, the world wants to try to put us in a mold. Unconformity to the world means that we should not be poured into the world's mold. There's a way that this world, the way of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, what I want to have, what I want to be, what I want to do. I was thinking about this today, the conformity to the world. And there's some things I'll mention in a little bit. But as I thought about this, this all changes because of the renewing of our mind. Do you know that word renewing is where we get our word revitalize? The theme of our conference is called the Fixer Upper Conference because of Waco, Texas, and Chip and Joanna, you know, and all that. So we've had a wonderful time relating messages and sermons and different things to that theme. And we're going to do it again tonight because, you know, that's what they do. They buy a dive, they buy a dump, and they go in and they look at it and they come up with a plan to revitalize that, to spruce it up, to fix it up, to make it appealing to customers who'll come by and pay a good dollar for that property. I was thinking back to the days of Bible college. Miss Birchall, she went to the same place I went to Bible college, and some of this will be a memory for her. But there were several buildings that our church, the church I was a part of in 1984 to 1992, don't do the math and learn how long it took me to get through college. That's not fair, judging me like that. But there was three buildings that they bought. And we knew the story because of the announcements and different things going on in the church. The first building that we want to refer to was an apartment building. Ms. Birch and I was on the bus ministry together. We pick up boys and girls in Chicago and bring them to the church on Sunday. And our bus would always park beside this apartment building that was right across the street from the church. And they bought it. They had the title. They had the deed to it. They owned that building. But everybody that lived there had a lease agreement, had a rental agreement. And so the church didn't make them move because they had a new owner. They still paid rent. They still lived there. And the activities of some of those people in that building was anything but what would be becoming of somebody who would go to church. Their church owned the property. But that had no bearing on people inside there that would party and drink and smoke and dope and prostitution and all that kind of stuff that anybody with any brain at all, when you would park your bus beside there and saw what was going on in that building, you're like, wow, you know. I mean, it's just happening right there across the street from the church. It's kind of like our bodies. Kind of like, you know, we get saved and there ought to be a reasoning that happens in our mind that we realize He didn't just save my soul. He didn't just put a new spirit inside of me, but He's making that work come all the way through me. He who began a good work in you will perform it. It's going to come all the way out. Amen. I believe that He's going to do that transformational work. He's going to finish it. He's going to complete it in you and in me one day. The second building that was a little different than the first. The second building was a stripper bar on State Street in that city. It was a bar. It had big vats in the back. It had a pole where they would dance, and it had all kinds of bars and liquor and cans and everything you can imagine. When they bought this dilapidated old bar and shut it down, the church bought it, they got the title, they own it, and then they went inside and they began to clean all that stuff out. I mean, they gutted it. They took out all kinds of stuff and removed it all from that building. But because of some foundational issues, it just stayed there. I mean, for many, many years as I was there in college and working in that church, it just stayed just like that. You drive by and it was an empty, vacated, you look in the windows and nothing was there. You know, that reminds me of people who, they get saved, they get a new spirit, they get a new leader, they get a new direction. And they take out things in their life that should not be there, but then they don't replace it with anything else. They stop a few habits here and there. Let me get to the third building. The third building was about three blocks from the church, and it was a very large religious building that had a group there that did not preach and teach God's word. They did not preach and teach salvation's way of to heaven. And they had little lavers by the door, and they had all kinds of crucifixions with Jesus hanging on the cross. By the way, Jesus is not on the cross. He arose again. Amen. It's kind of sacrilegious to have a cross with Jesus on it. You know, it's just my personal opinion. Don't get mad if you do. But they had all that kind of stuff. When they bought the church, said, "Oh, we're going to buy that building." So they bought that building 3 blocks away. They began to take out all of those things that were in there that were not necessary, were not needed, were not examples of who and what we are. And then they begin to put in school desks and chalkboards and the Bible and Christian books and Christian teachers. And then they started going to Chicago and picking up teenagers on buses at 4:45 in the morning. They picked these boys and girls up an hour away. They would drive them and pick all the kids up and drive them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to that building, and they would go to a Christian school. They hear the Bible taught, and they grow up, and they get on fire for God, and they serve the Lord. And man, that building was used to bring glory to God. The first one wasn't bringing any glory to God. The second one, just taking things out and being empty, didn't bring any glory to God. But boy, when that transformation work happened and they bought that third building and they took out the things that was wrong and not necessary and they put in the things that would bring honor and glory to God, that building was used many, 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 many decades to help boys and girls now that are serving the Lord and being an example of His transforming power. Are you thinking through this? Is it making sense? Because every one of us that know the Lord, every one of us that come to chapter 3 in our textbook, 3 dedication to determine God's direction in your life, God's direction for you, some of you in this room, is to get saved, to call on the name of the Lord, to let Him be your redeemer, your rescuer, your deliverer, once and for all. But for some, it's presenting that body, presenting that soul, presenting that all of you to the Lord and not be conforming to the things of this world. Look at letter A in your notes. Being conformed to the world means being poured into the world's way of thinking and conducting ourselves. I liken that to the apartment building. Hey, those folks were worldly. They just doing what they wanted to do, having what they want to have, being what they want to be. But thank God, God gave us a manual. Amen? He gave us a manual. Just like Ms. Burks and I rent cars all the time when we travel. And a few weeks ago, we rented this car. And we could not find out how to get the back hatch open. We spent an hour in this parking lot trying to figure out how to get our luggage in the back because there was no handle anywhere. I mean, we kicked under the thing because we'd heard, you know, there are cars you just touch underneath and the doors open up. We couldn't get the thing open. We had to finally open the glove box, take out the manual and read. And we got in the back of the car. I think it was a Toyota. I'm not sure. But the right-hand light, I mean, it was in the light. The light that lights up, the tail light. You had to put your hand in the tail light and pull, and the door swung out this way. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen nothing like that in my life, you know. And then the next week, we get a car, and we can't get the gas tank open. We looked everywhere. I don't know if it's us, if we're getting old and we're grandparents now, if that's really what the problem is, but it's kind of disgusting. I mean, you know, just give me a Dodge Dart, you know. And as I look at this, I realize God gave us this book to tell us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. Amen? That's what the verse says there in your text book. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means the main use is for this purpose. For what? For doctrine, what's right. For reproof, what's not right. Correction, how to get right. and instruction in righteousness, how to stay right, that the man of God or the Christian may be perfect or mature, truly furnished, becoming well polished unto all good works. First John tells us, love not the world, neither the things in the world that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, the focus is on the love of the Father. Victory comes when you fall into love with the Father. Everywhere in the Bible there's victory mentioned. It's in the theme of overcoming and victory and victorious living. It's always sprinkled with the love of God. Amen. Oh, how He loves you. I mean, He's got a better plan than you've got. He's got a better way than you've got. He's got the answer. He made you. He made me. And the manual that He gave us is absolutely right. Amen. And we can trust it. But boy, I tell you, people try to get us poured into the world's mold. You know what one of the world's mold is? M-O-L-D? It's a consumer mold. It gets us to think we're not happy unless we get that brand new golf club that came out yesterday. I'm not happy. My golf club's got a big dent in the end of it. I'm thinking, do I get the one that was 3 or 4 years old, or do I get the new one? If you're not careful, you'll be poured into the consumer mold. And you got to have the next cell phone. You got to have the next iPad. You got to have the latest and the greatest. That's being conformed to the pressures of advertisement, and the world is causing that. Let God make those choices and decisions for you. Don't go into debt during Christmas time. There's a highly individualistic mold. What that means is we want to create our own path. We do things our own way. We don't like imitating other people or following other people. I choose the way I want to go. My way, my choice. But that's not what this Bible says. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen? There's another one. There's a comfort and security mold. We think we deserve to be comfortable. And by the way, they got a pill for everything that makes you comfortable. The world we live in doesn't want you to experience any pain. But that's not what this book says right here. You may have to experience pain. You may have to experience suffering. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the ways of the world. And He can help you through those burdens. He can help you through those trials. He can help you through those difficulties. But we come become conformed to the world. Conformed to the world. Look at letter B. Being conformed to God is the blank. Versus being conformed to the world means being poured into the mold of God's way of conducting our lives. Instead of letting the world, you see, if I'm abiding in Him, if I'm dwelling in Him, if I'm remaining in Him, and I use this a lot when I teach our class in Rockford, probably every third or fourth sermon, I got a handkerchief and I'm standing on it, because that's the answer to stop your addictions and stop your problems, is abide in Christ, remain in Him, dwelling Him, amen? Remain here, live here. But the moment I step out, I'm susceptible to be in tune with some ways of the world that pull me further and further and further from the truth. And so here it says, don't do that. With God's help, as you abide in Him, tune in to what He's doing and saying. Even the past things in your life. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called. The devil wants to use your past failures to render you useless to God. The world wants to use your past failures to render you useless to God. Do you know what they want to do? They want to put a victim label on you. Ms. Burks has got 3 books back there on being a victim or being victorious. And if you feel like you've got that victim mentality, please go get those tonight. Please. You don't have to be a victim. You can be more than conquerors. You don't know my situation, Brother Burks. You don't know how things are. You don't know what they did to me. I know Him. And he's a redeemer. He's a rescuer. He's a deliverer. And he can take you out of that mess. Amen? He can help you. He can help you. Ephesians 4 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Study this when you get home. Look at what all those words mean. Compressed feelings. Feelings of getting even. Gossiping. Arguing. A desire for physical injury, to hurt somebody, outward expression of my feeling, being kind one to another, tender-hearted, inward expression of my feeling. I want to talk to you just a second about curb appeal. As we close this conference out, a curb appeal. How many of you know what a curb appeal is? Yeah. Let me read the definition for curb appeal here. The curb appeal is the attractiveness of a property for sale and its surrounding when viewed from the street. Landscaping, the front entrance, the condition of the paint, the siding are the biggest factors of curb appeal. Curb appeal. I mean, it's crazy. I'm experiencing a little bit of this going on in my house right now because my mother-in-law lives with me now. And my wife knows our house is just, it's a little bit too crowded with my mother-in-law living there. By the way, I don't care how big it is, it's, no, I better stop. I'll be nice. But my wife and I both feel like we need a one-story home and with these days that our mother-in-law is living with us. And so my wife has been planning and preparing to upgrade some things in our house with the idea that if the Lord opens the door at the beginning of next year, when the weather breaks and the snow melts in the end of July in Rockford, that we can possibly sell our house. And boy, she's had a honey-do list for me. I mean, all kinds of things. I'm just waiting to come home in the backyard, be a brand new trees and brand new brushes and all the railroad ties gone, because that's what people do. They get rid of things and they make it look, they spend a lot of money to make the outside look real nice to make somebody appealing to want to go in and check this place out. It's called curb appeal. I tell you, how many of you have found victory through faith-based recovery in Jesus Christ? Give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Then could I ask you a question? Could I ask you a favor? Could we work on the curb appeal a little bit? Because they're not going to come in and check it out and check him out if our curb appeal is not what it ought to be. And you need him to have the right of curb appeal. Your focus has got to be on him, not COVID-19. Your focus has got to be on him, not the election. Your focus has got to be on him, not what's going on at work all the time. Not being consumed by anything but him. Because when we don't do that, what happens is the curb appeal, which is letter D, properly controlled emotions show others our strength in Christ. They look at us by our attitude. They look at us by our emotions that we're putting forth, our facial expressions. Well, unfortunately, you can't see those very well these days walking around with a bunch of masks on. But our facial expressions say a lot. Our body language says a lot. Our tone of voice says a lot. I'm not screaming at you tonight. I'm just passionate about giving all to Jesus Christ. Passionate about it. And I think you are too. And I want you to be. And I want people to come in and check out what changed you. Not what, who? Jesus Christ. Amen? I want them to begin to ask you, I want the people that you live with, I want the people that you do business with to look at you and say, what happened to you? There's been a great change. What happened to you? And I want you to look at them and say, oh man, I go to this program on Friday night It's called Are You? Why don't you come with me? I want to show it to you. You'll see a bunch of people like me. Why don't you come? The greatest testimony of this chapter is not a billboard or a poster or a sign. It's your testimony. But they'll never get to hear that if you're weepy, moping all the time, begging all the time, critical all the time, complaining all the time, negative all the time. The curb appeal is not going to want to make them come in and check it out thoroughly so they can get what you got. Amen? Letter E, if we lose control of our emotions, we are vulnerable to Satan's attacks. If we lose control of our emotions, we become, look at Proverbs 25, we're done with this. He that hath no rule over his own spirit or temperament is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know what happens? This verse is saying, you can have a new you and a new leader and a new direction. But there's one part of you you need to keep your eye on every single day. What's your attitude like? What's your emotions been like today, this week? Let me give you some terminology that he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Man, what kind of news are you watching, Brother Birch? Because, man, it's terrible what's going on right now. And the election is terrible, and this is terrible. Where you focus, you follow. I said all week, what you focus on expands, it grows. And it does affect your attitude and your emotions. Amen? So stay connected to Him. Abide, remain, and dwell in Christ. We sing old song, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Sing that with me. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy. Stand up and let's clap. Here we go. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where is joy, joy, joy. Brother Earl, run around the building this time when we sing. Just take off running. Here we go. Everything's all right. In my Father's house. Let me hear you yell. Go! Father's house, everything's all right. Brother Ed, run this way. Joy, joy, joy. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's get the curb appeal out there. Let others be wanting what we've got. And they will. If they'll see the joy of the Lord, if they'll see the rejoicing, if they'll see, they'll be like, what happened to you? Everybody won't be excited about it. Someone's going to try to get you to conform to them and go back to your drugs and go back to your way of living. So everybody's not going to be excited about it. But you just stay abiding. You just remain. You stay right there. Because eventually somebody's going to say, I don't know what happened to them, but I need to sure find out. I'm going to go check out where they go on Friday night. And they'll come here. And they'll hear the same old, old, old wonderful story that you heard. And they'll make things right with their God. Yes. Father, please bless the invitation tonight. Yes. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's anybody here say, Brother Brooks, I'm not sure if I died that I'd even go to heaven, that Father's house. I don't want to be embarrassed tonight, but I wish you'd pray for me tonight. I'm not sure I'm on my way to be with God in heaven. When you die, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. There is no purgatory. If you believe that, sir or ma'am, somebody lied to you. Everybody goes to heaven or goes to hell. Brother Burks, I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up so I can see it? I promise you I won't embarrass you or come get you. I just want to pray for you, brother, sister. Would you raise your hand right now? I'm not sure. Anyone at all? Hey, say, Brother Burks, I'm saved. But I need to work on that curb appeal. I need him to work on that curb appeal. And I want what he's doing on the inside to come out so others will see my joy and my rejoicing and his glory inside of me. That's what I need. God spoke to me tonight. Would you slip your hand up all over this room? Oh, wow, look at all the hands. The instrument's going to play. Would you find a place at this altar? Leaders, would you come pray with them? Leaders, helpers, people in your group, let's come. Let's powwow together and let's talk to God right here at the old-fashioned altar. Would you come right now? Would you come right now?